This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Friday morning. It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 20th, episode 1614, brought to you today by our friends at Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am going to be talking very deliberately and slowly today because I've been accused three times this morning of being on crack. So I'm going to speak very slowly so that everybody can keep up today because apparently my co-host can't.
I've got to be honest. I've never actually spoken to a crackhead, so I don't know how they talk typically, but I would imagine that you sounded like one today.
Jamie, we did our meeting, and we got done with the meeting. Jamie says, I have no idea what you just said.
None. What are you talking about? Where are we? What day is it? I don't even know. Who are you?
I have somebody here to help me, though. Jennifer, maybe if you could get her a lunge whip. She's sitting across from me in the studio. If I start to talk too fast, she could just whip me. Would you think that'll work? Would that be good?
No. Dually halter. You need a dually.
See, there you go. Because if she whips you, you're going to get more excited and you're going to get more stressed out with a whip. So dually halter. Well done, Jen.
We have auditor Kayla Muller in the studio here this morning. She's visiting because she comes down to Ocala to train. Hi, Kayla.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. It's good to have you back. You were here last year, right?
Yes, yeah. I was.
Stopped by once.
I did.
Last year, and it's so good to have you back. It's always fun to have people in the studio. Now,
poor Kayla. I mean, it's just a hard life living up in, you know, Maryland and having this unbelievable farm with this. I just watch videos and look at the footing on your farm, which is amazing. And then, you poor thing, you got to pack up and head down to Florida every year. Gosh.
It's really terrible. It's a really hard life.
So sorry for you.
Do you lease a place here? Do you stay with someone else?
I'm leasing a barn at Mardanza Farms in Micanopy.
Micanopy. Yeah,
it's not Micanopy like I was pronouncing it. It's Micanopy.
It does look like that, though.
Yeah.
It is the cutest little Florida town you will ever see, Micanopy.
It's like got four shops and it's it's so cute.
But it's so cute. The houses and the live oak trees and everything.
Yeah. There's a restaurant, the Old Florida Cafe, that has the best Reuben. The best.
There you go. It does have a lot of cute little restaurants. Yeah. Well, now we're going to talk to Kayla in a little bit because she is here not only just to visit and say hi because she loves us, but she's also here because we have something special we're going to announce about her in a few minutes. But Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Oh, I feel like I'm going to have a spoiler now. Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Speedy Style Friday Edition, our unsuspecting in-studio guest, Kayla, has an announcement. I'll skip the rest. And then mid-show, Chris Irwin is going to stop by, and he's telling us about the new show he's got coming up on Horse Lifestyle TV.
That is not the Crocodile Hunter, by the way.
I thought of that, actually. Not.
I thought the same thing.
Boy, it's a croc, mate.
How to do that.
It's not.
And I don't think he's even from Australia.
Yeah. No, he's not.
And then we're going to slide stylishly to the finish with Really Bad Ads, which features a herd of hilarious listener-submitted ads. So stay tuned for the prize, folks.
All right, very good. Well, we have Daily Winnies, and Kayla's doing mine today.
All right, so my Daily Winnie actually goes out to my stepmom, Mogi. She recently broke her jaw, and she got on her first horse back after her accident. So that's really exciting. And yeah.
She broke it good, too, didn't she?
Yeah, she got kicked in the face and dislocated, shattered, broke her wrist. Yeah. When she breaks, she breaks.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
She was at a horse show and she was lunging a horse, and she doesn't really remember. Nobody really saw it, but somebody found her, and she was...
So the horse came in on her? Probably. Boy, lunging is more dangerous than people give it credit mm-hmm. for. It really is. You have it to know really what you're is. Doing, and even then.
Well, and people are making fun of her now because she bought a polo helmet to jump in because her doctor begged her, okay, I know you're going to get back on a horse. You need something to protect your face.
Well, no kidding, yeah.
So, but everyone's like, really? And I'm like, could you imagine re-breaking something that you had to have? She had to have two surgeries or two or three. So it was serious. So
wow.
I'm excited that she's back. So
my butt hurts. Yeah, getting uncomfortable.
I'll tell you what. Now she's up in Aiken. She actually goes. That she doesn't come down here.
No, she doesn't enjoy sunshine. Apparently, in warm weather.
Apparently,
no. Aiken's nice though. So
is she trying to avoid you, or is it?
You know, I haven't asked her that. But maybe I should ask her that part. No, she has a her. Owner who owns a lot of her horses bought a place there. So
Well, I'd go to Aiken too.
Yeah,
then.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Jamie, your turn.
Oh, I just love that. All right, so my Daily Winnie goes out to, first of all the people on Facebook that are playing the horsey name game. It's hilarious. And the auditors have, I think every auditor in the HRN auditor Facebook page has done the game. And I just had to give it a little bit of a shout out. By the way, if you Google image Zeus, there are lots of naked statues of this guy. So, you know, but anyway, I digress. Rachel Rosenthal said that, oh God, it's so funny that I'm just going to read her post. Oh my God. 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 I'm scarred, completely scarred. I just wanted to play the game. That's all I wanted to do. So I Google image searched my horse's registered name because, I mean, y'all already probably know her barn name, and her registered name is a variety of sex toy. Oh my God. If y'all need me, I'm just be over here in the corner pretending this never happened. Yikes. My naivete, my innocence, it's gone. Oh my God. Wait until my trainer hears about this. So I still don't know what her.
I don't either.
For actually say what the horse's name is. I'm looking through the comments because there's like 10 million comments about this whole thing. But oh my gosh, how hysterical is that?
And I think that's exactly how she sounds.
Oh my God, the name is better than chocolate. I gotta do it. I have to.
You have to do what?
She's Googling it.
Oh. we lost Jamie now for the rest of the show.
I don't even know what that is.
Neither.
I don't even know what that does. I don't want to know. I'm closing it. No more. I'm done. I don't want to research that.
I'm going to have to have Chad block those sites from her for the morning show.
No Googling allowed.
Well,
thank you. I had to. I just had to. I mean, you know.
I saw that post and it was hilarious, Rachel's reaction. You could see her just having a meltdown. Well, Kayla is here for a reason. Why don't you kind of explain why she's here, Jamie?
Kayla, good morning. Thank you for being here. And thank you for, well, we're going to get to know each other quite well. And that is because you are participating in this year's OTTB makeover at the Kentucky Horse Park.
I am. It's super exciting.
So we decided we wanted to kind of follow along with you as a trainer, as a spotlight trainer for our show, all the way through up until the event. Is that okay?
I mean,
I guess I should ask.
I guess.
You're no. Like, no, I didn't agree to that at all.
Wait, what? Why am I here? What? No.
So have you... Congratulations on doing this. It's such an amazing thing. Do you have your horse yet?
I do. Actually, he is actually why I decided to enter or submit my application. I saw a horse online. A good friend of mine, Jessica Redman of Benchmark Sport Horses, buys off the track horses and rehomes them, or, well, for a fee, but you know, put some training on them and resells them. And she had this one horse, and I was like, that's a seriously nice horse. And so I went and had a sit on him, and I really didn't have the funds or, you know, the financial means to bring him down to Ocala. And it was right before we left, and I sat on him, and I was like, oh no, oh boy. And so I got my business partner out to see him and sat on him again and was like, oh goodness. And she's like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. And so I love him. So we got him, and then we were kind of coming up with a game plan for him. And I was like, you know, it'd be really cool is to participate in the Retired Racehorse Project. It's something that I've wanted to do, but never really had that one horse. I've had some nice horses, but not one that I thought that could maybe go and win some money. And there's some exciting amount of money that's in this. So,
more than eventing your chosen sport.
I don't just get a ribbon.
Now, Jamie, I got to tell you, the day I asked her to do this, I got this message from her on Facebook. She said, yeah, I'd be happy to do it. She said, people will get the lowdown on the good and the bad and the ugly of training in OTTB. Like today, we were good. Then not good, then really not good, then finished good. It's like a roller coaster.
It really is. So there's one day, like, and I'll message my friends and give them updates, and I'm like, I love him. And then the next day, I'm like, he's a jerk. I'm like, he's got to go. He's not lasting till October.
This is the worst idea I've ever made. Oh my God, I'm totally going to win. Yeah,
exactly.
I get it.
I'm winning. I'm going to win all the money. No, we're never going to go. No. But it's super exciting because I've also started following some other people that are going to be competing, and you know, I'm going to have my work cut out for me, so, which is exciting. It's exciting, but then I'm like, oh no, oh.
Well, tell us about him. His name is Gable, right?
His name is Gable. His jockey club name is Freshman Phenom. He's 5.
That's an awesome his jockey club name.
I know, right? I was like, I'm not changing that at all. And his barn name was actually Freshy when we got him, but his owner was not a huge fan. And actually, her husband ended up naming him Gable after Dan Gable, who's a professional wrestler. And he won the 1972 Olympics, I believe, and was undefeated the whole Olympics, and only ever lost in his high school through Olympian career, only ever lost 2 matches. And one of them was to a guy who went down a weight class to wrestle him. So that wasn't very fair. And so
you're like, he's a winner.
He's a winner. He's going to win.
Right on, girl. So you got him. The qualifications that you can't start them until January 1st, right? So he's super new to this whole being ridden, not a racehorse thing.
Right. Well, so they've changed the rules. Now it's December 1st. And they wanted to give everyone a little bit more time. But also, you can still have 15 allowable rides within, like, before that date. But he had only had, like, I think a grand total of 5. But what's really cool about him is he actually has the most balanced canter for a horse that just came off the track. His last race was the 23rd of October.
Oh, wow.
And I tried him the last week in November, and his right canter is better than his left canter. He's more apt to pick up his right lead than his left lead. And he has the most balanced canter I've sat on. I'm like, I don't need to half halt. I need to put my leg on. You have a warm blood canter. Like, go forward. Go somewhere. You really didn't want to be a racehorse, did you?
How many times did he race?
That is a good question. I think 13.
Oh, so he really was, he really didn't want to be racist.
So probably up in Maryland. And what years did he race? Like, was he 2, 3, 4, 10?
He raced as a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, and he had a bit of a gap because he had a bone bruise. And the trainers, being very good trainers that they were, pulled him off, sent him out to pasture for a while, brought him back, tried to race him, and he said no.
So what are your thoughts for, are you thinking eventing for competing him at the makeover or what?
Yeah, I think eventing, and then you can choose a second discipline, so we might do jumpers as well. We'll see.
They're the only thing I'm going to warn you about is if you want to win the big money, you got to do some kind of amazing freestyle.
Well, they don't. I don't think they do freestyle for eventing or show jumping.
But I think you can choose that as your second.
Oh.
And you take a look at everybody we've had on. They've all been the freestyle that have.
I thought, Glenn, that basically you if you like come in the top of your division, then you have to go do a freestyle, right?
That's right. It's the winner like of eventing and all. You need to reread the rules because isn't that what we've always had? The person like the big winner or the big money was the freestyle winner or something is what we've always had on the show.
Now, my friend Laura last year, she's a big time eventer out here in Arizona, and she did the eventing, and I think she finished 9th in the eventing, but ended up 2nd in dressage. So she did both, and the horse was. I'm looking at photos of your horse moving right now, and he's quite impressive under tack.
It's a beautiful gray. Yeah.
Beautiful dapple gray. You know, who's he by? Really good. Bloodlines.
He'll look really good jumping through fire rings at freestyle, too.
Hell yeah!
He's brave. I don't know if he's that brave, though.
Okay, well.
His bloodlines, Jamie, you asked. He's by Pollard's Vision out of a it looks like Guatemala, but it's not Guatemala. And I don't know beyond that. I don't do bloodlines very well.
So he's a Maryland bred, is what you're saying. He's not a Kentucky bred.
I think
you know what that means.
Yeah, but I don't know that he's actually Maryland bred. But
she doesn't care. She just doesn't want him to throw her every day.
I know, that's but he's a pretty horse. Interview, Glenn.
She cares that he actually has his left lead and his right lead's up. You know, she cares about that. She really.
What's his name? Freshman
Phenom.
What?
Jamie's become a breeding geek now that she's now a breeding that she has, geek. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she's become a breeding geek.
Well, that's the problem is I knew so much about the thoroughbreds, but I knew nothing about warmbloods. Now I'm a warmblood breeder. Ha!
Well, we're gonna follow you along the way here and check in with you on a regular basis how the training's going.
Okay.
So that the entire audience will have somebody to root for.
Yes.
For this year in
There's
October.
There's also a prize for the most popular thoroughbred. So.
We can fix that. What's his Facebook page?
He's got it's Freshman Phenom RRP 2017.
Jennifer, can you post a link to that on our Facebook page? And Jennifer says New York bred.
For those who want to know, Pollard's Vision is a baby, is a sire, a baby of Carson City, who is a Kentucky bred. And then Guagamala is the mother, and she's Canadian. So his mother's line is mainly Canadian, and his father's line goes up back to Mr. Prospector. So you've got some good blood in there.
Is Gable really nice like a Canadian?
He is, and he does say sorry.
So there you go.
he kicked me the other day, and he said sorry afterwards.
See?
There might have been some prompting, but he said sorry.
He was encouraged to say, like husband, he was encouraged to say sorry.
No, but he's a really friendly, nice horse, which has actually surprised me why he kicked me. I think I surprised him. I asked him to move over, and I was standing right behind him. Yeah. I was doing everything you shouldn't do, but luckily I was close enough he didn't get a full.
Because that's what we do.
Full swing, yeah.
Well, so we're going to follow you, and we're going to keep in touch. I want to talk to you about something else that's going on right now in the eventing world, and they will be talking about it. This week's eventing show comes out today, and they're going to be talking about this. But and that is, Jamie, you're going to be excited to know that we're getting closer to maybe having a second four-star, eventing four-star here in the United States, and they narrowed it down to two places, Fairhill and Great Meadow in Virginia. Fairhill's in Maryland, not too far from where you are. And Jennifer, maybe you want to give us a quick overview of what you learned?
The quick overview is, and as is the habit of most organizing bodies, they don't give us a whole lot of details. originally there were five different venues vying for the 4-star, and they've narrowed it down to two venues. That would be Fairhill in Maryland, nearest closest city, for those of you who are not familiar with East Coast geography, is Newark, Delaware. And the other one is Great Meadow in Virginia, which is 1 hour directly west of Washington, D.C. So those are the two venues that are left. At this point, the first running of the proposed 4-star has been pushed back to 2019 because everybody is very busy trying to get try-on ready for 2018. So that's the other bit of news we have. We do not have a date, and it is not even approved by the FEI yet. First, they have to get some more details nailed down, and the FEI has to approve the venue and the date before it can be really set in stone. But we're all very excited that it will happen. And so far, the limited number of responses I've seen on social media are, what the? Because everybody thought Florida would get it.
Because it's going to be in the fall. They're talking about fall, right, Kayla?
Yeah, it's a fall event, which I think is nuts to have it up in Maryland.
The weather is just... And Fairhill, for those that don't know, it's this huge state park. I mean, it's huge. It's enormous. You can go ride there for hours. It's beautiful. It's not been known to have the best facilities in the world. It's in the middle. I mean, it's open, and there's lots of room to park people, and there's lots of room for vendors, but no power, no infrastructure of any kind. The hotels around there absolutely suck and have sucked for 40 years.
There's one restaurant.
Yeah. It's nothing like Lexington.
One restaurant.
That's right. It's just not conducive to having 100,000 people show
Glenn
up.
The advantage is it is in the population dense northeast.
It is. It's close.
So there
to
are
Philly,
a large number of people, horse and otherwise, who can get to it.
Baltimore.
In 25 minutes. So that's the advantage these two facilities have. But I would tend to agree in that the Fairhill facility has not invested wisely in infrastructure for assorted reasons. They have a lot of work to do to make it spectator friendly.
I saw a post by one of your fellow eventers today, Kayla, that said, oh, that means they get to charge us even more for the expensive bedding when our stalls flood like they do every year at Fairhill.
Well, it always rains. It's either gorgeous or it's monsooning. And then you got to think that the 3-star, and most people won't run in the 3-star because the footing is a foot deep. So you're jumping like 10 times higher and exhausting your horses up and down the hills because it's really hilly in that area. And I think they missed an opportunity to move it south. And I get that Fairhill is established. They've been running for a while. It's an established venue, whatnot. And like Ocala is not, they ran their first event last fall.
And they were very disappointed in the amount of spectators that showed up.
Right.
Yeah. And they have a bigger chance of getting many more spectators up there. The problem is, and Great Meadow, I'm hearing good things about Great Meadow. Mm-hmm. So that I think Great Meadow might be the one to end up getting it anyway.
But it's going to be rainy and mucky and... I don't know.
It's still Virginia in November whatever. Yeah.
And Virginia, Maryland, they have the same weather regardless of,
Are you excited, Jamie? You love Rolex. Are you excited about the potential for another 4-star?
I don't know how many trips I can make across the country a year for this. I need to plan other vacations too. Jeez.
They could have had it in Arizona in the middle of winter.
Yes,
hello?
They could have done it out there and had a West Coast 4-star.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
Make the East Coast riders go west for one.
Why weren't any of the California venues on the list?
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Seriously,
they're not
Galway
big
Downs
enough.
Can have
enough?
A 4-star.
They're not big enough. I don't think Galway could run a 4-star. I don't know that they have enough land space to get off.
I don't know,
it.
Jamie. You've been there a bunch. What do you think? Could they run
it? They do 3-stars. They don't have a problem with those. I mean, it's only one more star. Come on.
Though I haven't been there in 8 years, so I could just be,
they've done
wrong.
So much to it. And the stabling is awesome. And the footing is amazing. And there's no bad footing. I mean, it can pour down rain and they drag in, sand. You know, it's perfect. So I don't know why they wouldn't.
I think it's an opportunity.
I do know on Facebook, like what Glenn was saying is Joe Meyer,
who's the host. Yeah.
He was started a thread about it, and Roy Francesca, the Brazilian four-star rider that's based in the UK, had commented on it and said that he thought there was a missed opportunity to have it in Florida because a lot of European people might have shipped their horses over and spent the season in Florida and actually been going, kind of like what Liz Halliday does. And then it would have boosted our eventing.
You know what I think it was? I really think that they looked at the dismal crowds, basically just family, who showed up for the one over Thanksgiving here, the new three-star down here at the Ocala Jockey Club. There was this brand new show, and nobody showed up. And part of the problem we have here in Ocala is we have horse people and we have old people. And old people are not coming out to walk, and I'm almost one of those old people now. So they're not coming out to walk around the cross-country course. And I'm not picking on them. I am them, okay? So they're not coming out. They're just not. We have the biggest carriage driving event in the country here in Ocala in the spring, and you would think that they would want to come out and watch pretty carriages go around crazy courses, and they don't support that either. They just don't support – the seniors don't support the horse events here, and that's what we have. We have seniors and now horse people in town, so the horse people come out, but it's not enough to bring 50,000 people.
Right.
Like a Rolex, and I think that's what they're concerned about. I really do. I think that's what it comes down to is dollars. It always comes down to dollars. Right.
Well, also, though, it was on Thanksgiving weekend. That's a bit rough.
Yeah, it was a bad time to do it. I mean, they had dressage on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
Not too many people going out to watch dressage on Thanksgiving Day.
I'm not very thankful for dressage. So.
Well said.
So true.
So that was one of the big stories. And then the other one I wanted to bring up, and this is kind of a fun story while Jennifer's getting our first guest on, is that the Queen's 90th birthday was last year. And the Queen gets a lot of gifts for her birthday, not surprisingly. But I saw a story today about her favorite gifts that she got in her 90th birthday year. Now, the rest of us get a day or a couple days if we're lucky. She got a year. So
she's 90 and she's a freaking queen. She deserves a year.
Buckingham Palace printed a list of 81 birthday presents sent to the Queen. And she got a lot of the usual stuff, diamonds and gold and
all the usual stuff.
That's what I get for my birthday.
Yeah, that's what everybody gets, right? But she was most excited about a horse that she got. It was a black horse named Sir John that was given to her by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police during last year's Windsor Horse Show. It was named in honor of Canada's first Prime Minister, Sir John Macdonald, who also created the Mounties. This horse is now stabled at Windsor and may play a part in this year's Trooping of the Colour as a personal mount of a member of the royal family. So it's been already put into the stables at the Royal Mews, and they're going to be using the horse, and she was very excited about that. Sir John was the fifth horse presented to the Queen by the Mounties, of which she is the commissioner in chief of the Mounties. She's the big boss. And so she's gotten a lot of these black horses. Of course, anybody that has seen the Mounties knows that they breed their own and they're all black, pure black. They don't have any white on them at all. And if you ever get to see the show and you haven't seen the Mounties perform, you have to see it. It is precision. It's just unbelievable to see. I don't know if you've seen them, Kayla, but they're the Mounties show that they do. It's just, Jamie, have you seen it?
No.
They drag the arena. Now, you got, 30 of these horses out there, and they do this precision drill thing, and they drag the arena, and when they're done, there's one line. They're none of them are out of step. It is just incredible to watch. She also received a couple of other animal gifts last year, one from the Duke of Bedford in the form of two young red deer stags, they call them stallions in our term, and which they put into Abbey Deer Park. So they added to her collection of deer.
That's where they're from, at Woburn Abbey Deer Park, and they get to come and pick them out themselves. So, Queen, come get your deer.
Come pick your stags.
Come here, guys.
Bring them over to whatever estate they're going to put the stags
on. Get in the trailer. Come on. Get in.
Now, the other thing she got, and I personally want one of these, is she got a limited edition of the Newmarket Monopoly set. featuring 22 trainers yards. This is a horse related Monopoly set, and it's all the big thoroughbred training yards in England. So it, instead of the usual London streets, it has these training yards, and it is it has mares and stallions as the houses and the hotels, and it was given to her by the National Heritage Center for Horse Racing and Sporting Art, and I'm sure she's been playing nonstop since she got it.
With her grandchildren.
With her grandchildren, yeah. Yes, that's right.
Give me the dice. It's my roll.
Smack it with her diamond cane.
So those were the horse-related gifts that the Queen got last year for her birthday.
Very well. Very good.
Let's do this. Let's take a break for our one of our sponsors. And of course, that's Ovation. We're happy to have Ovation sponsor the morning show. And then we're coming back with our first guest. We have Chris Irwin, and he has a new show that's appearing on one of our friends here, Horse Lifestyle TV. All coming up in just a minute.
People know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
Well, I don't know in how in 9 years of doing this, we have not had this gentleman on our shows, and I'm so excited to have him join us this morning. We have Chris Irwin on. He's a horseman, personal coach, and international best-selling author, and he stops by today to tell us all about his film, Horse Sense for the Modern World, that's been put on and produced, I think, by our friends in Amsterdam from horselifestyle.tv. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sincere about that. I don't know how we have not had you on in 9 years. That's been our fault, and I apologize.
No apology necessary. Thank you. It's great to be here now.
Well, now, we love Horse Lifestyle TV. They've been coming on our show pretty much since the day they started, and I love the programming they're doing, and I love the fact that they're really reaching out to people who are doing horsemanship right, and that's who they're reaching out to put on the network. So I'm so happy that they did this program. Tell us about the program and what it encompasses.
Well, it's interesting. It's different. It's turning out to be a bit of a disruptor. The Horse Lifestyle TV came to me. I'm working more and more in the Netherlands and in Belgium, France, and they asked if they could just follow me around to a few of my clinics and workshops there because they've been hearing that it's unique, truly unique. And so, of course, I said, sure. And as they were doing so, the CEO there, Vanessa Summers, she really liked what she was seeing. And she asked if we could partner. So it was a beautiful invitation for me. I have self-produced my own how-to training videos since going back to the late 90s, 1997, 98. But what's different this time, Glenn, is instead of, shall I say, the more practical how-to training steps, it's not quite so much just about methodology or technique. They ended up making a documentary more and more about the ethos of the work, the why behind the work, more than the how behind the work. Because they really wanted to emphasize there's this real tricky balance for horse people to find between honoring tradition, but also embracing evolution and progress. That's a real tricky thing. And my work is very much evolving. I just mentioned a few minutes ago making training videos back in the late 90s. When those videos first came out, they got great reviews. I can remember Horse and Rider magazine reviewing a book and a video and saying, you know, great stuff. But I'll tell you, within 5 years, by, say, 2002, 2003, I'd be at expos like Equine Affair, Equitana, and you're at your booth, and you've got your videos playing, and they're looping. So I'd spend some time seeing myself over and over and over again with horses on video. And I started to recognize that, yeah, I'm a good horseman. I am. I'm really good at fixing problems that I wasn't even aware of causing. I started to see in my own body language, both in the groundwork and in the saddle, that problem, quote unquote, issue with the horse that you just fixed, Chris, you caused it. It's kind of like a fireman inadvertently starts a fire and then is quite proud of the fact that he can put the fire out. So I started digging deeper and deeper and deeper, and I'm seeing it everywhere. And so now what I'm teaching is, first and foremost, it sounds so cliche, Ray Hunt said it, Tom Durant said it, that you're working on yourself. So this documentary that Horse Lifestyle TV put out is very strong in messaging: before you try to train your horse or fix your horse, you have to really be centered in what you're doing, because more often than not, we are fixing in our horses the problems we're causing. So this is a documentary that goes right deep into the marrow of the bone of not only what are you doing and how are you doing it, but are you aware of the underlying message that you're sending? Why are you doing it this way? Because your horse is reading that.
Is it because...
So that's what Horse Lifestyle TV saw.
Yeah. I used to teach sales, Chris, for a long time. And, you know, we used to teach the levels of learning. And we really had to understand the levels of learning. So is it because... Are we doing this because we don't know what we don't know?
Absolutely. That's it. And that is such a hard message to package into marketing and promotion.
Yeah, because nobody wants to hear
to
they don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody wants to hear that they don't know what they don't know. But it's true. And so what Horse Lifestyle TV saw as they followed around, that it wasn't a one-off. It wasn't just this one particular quirky horse at an event responded differently. What they started seeing is event after event, horse after horse, whether it was an English horse or a Western horse or a driving horse, a recreational horse or a high-level performance sport horse, that even at the highest levels, Olympic-level riders, we are unaware, we don't know what we don't know, and we are very often fixing the problems that we were inadvertently causing. And I'm demonstrating this a lot with simple things: putting on a halter, picking up feet, putting on the bridle, leading your horse. So what I demonstrate and what this documentary demonstrates is that on a moment-to-moment basis, humans are very often, the vast majority of us, it's actually an illusion. We're disconnected. We're not really in the moment in terms of articulate and fluent body language communication with our horses that they understand, that they can truly, they have to translate this two-legged vertical human body language into what they understand as a four-legged horizontal body language. So this is way too much for a listener to try and visualize, but there are statements, there are facts, like an educated rider, English or Western rider, knows a concept like riding on the correct diagonal while trot rising or posting and trotting. And this is all about balancing the horse. Now, there is that same concept of a correct diagonal when riding. There is a correct position in your body with your hips, your legs, your waist, your chest, your core, which hand you use. There is actually a very articulate and correct shape in your body with which to pet a horse, just petting them. And if you're petting them using your body in the correct frame that they can read, then they understand this is affection. But if you're petting them in what would be the wrong diagonal stance of your body, your legs in the wrong position, your core, as silly as it sounds, where's your belly button aiming? All of these things, so that the horse understands the intention. What I mean by all of this, watch someone petting a horse. They could be the highest level riders out there. And what you will more often than not see is that while the horse is being petted, it turns its head away. It arcs its neck and head away from the very person showing it affection and bends the shoulder into and the ribs into the petter. Now, from the body language of horses, that is resistance. That is, I don't like what you're doing, and I'm going to block it and push back against it. And the person is oblivious. The person is in their world. I love my horse. And they think their horse loves them, but that's just an illusion. In reality, the body language of the horse, responding to the body language of the person, says, I don't like this at all. And when the person learns to just change their shape, take that leg and put it there. Take your belly button and instead of aiming it here, aim it there. They send a completely different signal. The horse understands it, and the horse responds totally different. So in terms of body language, imagine giving someone a thumbs up or a thumbs down. A lot of people think they're sending a thumbs up to their horse, but they're actually sending thumbs down. But they don't know that, but their horse does.
How do you overcome that, though? I mean, because what you're talking about is a fundamental shift in how everybody learns to deal with horses. That's
absolutely
a big challenge, right? I mean, that's starting
it
from
is.
Scratch. And how do you overcome that when really, we've talked about this a lot on the shows. When you got competitors coming up, especially in certain disciplines, that are showing up at the barn, they're doing their riding lessons and they're going home, and that's what they get. That's what they have in their time with the horse is showing up for riding lessons, and they don't get the fundamentals like you're talking about. When somebody had to use horses years ago, they spent a lot of time with horses. So how do you overcome that? Where's the shift?
Well, it sounds a little cliche to say it, but the shift starts with intention. Why are you doing this? Like, what do you want? An example that comes up when you ask that question. Here's a dilemma that a lot of riding schools deal with. I'll go into a specific demographic right now. The English riding school with young kids jumping. Owner of riding school, owner of school horses deals with this on a daily basis. If these kids aren't allowed to jump, they're not having enough fun, so they don't want to come ride. But they're being taught to jump before they actually ride well enough. So the horses pay the expense. So these schooling horses and a lot of jumping schools have sore backs. And they resent the bridle because they're going through jumping experiences with people who don't, specifically kids, who don't ride them well enough. So here becomes the question. And I think the onus is on parents and it's on coaches. If you ask a 10-year-old little girl, do you love your horse? She's going to say yes. Do you want to go jump your horse? She's going to say yes. But if you were to actually have an authentic conversation with her and say, well, you know, sweetheart, your horse doesn't really feel good about jumping and doesn't like jumping unless you really understand how to ride it better over the jumps. Are you willing to learn what you need to learn? Are you willing to give the horse what it needs in order to get what you want? Or do you just want what you want? So if we have the overindulged little princess who says, well, if I can't jump, I don't want to ride. Well, then that's an ethical issue for the parents and for the owner of that horse. So yeah, it's a big deal. It's raising the bar, shall I say, of expectations, intentions, ethics, values. Why are we even doing this? Do you come to the horse to give it what it needs from you so that it truly can be that cliche willing partner? Or are we just using it? Are we just using it for our own sense of recreation or distraction or ego gratification? Which is it? So go ahead.
So question, just before we run out of time, this is all awesome stuff. So is this kind of what you do? Like, do you only do the basics? Do you work with more than that? Do you do remedial horses? Do you, like, what kind of trainer would you define yourself as?
The behaviorist.
Okay.
Because my resume is everything from when I started as a young man, I started at the racetrack. By the time I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, I was living in the Reno, Tahoe area. And actually, my first claim to fame in the horse industry was fixing runaway teams. So yeah, that's pretty remedial, you know, the runaway coach team. But my work is everything from beginners to training the trainers to working at the highest levels. I work with Olympic level riders in Europe. I work with first time backyard wannabe cowboys here in Alberta and everything in between. I know we're about to run out of time. To put this into perspective, here's what we're dealing with. People love music. It's an analogy. People love music. Everybody loves music. Pick a genre. Music is like the horse industry. It's very multifaceted. So you've got everything from thoroughbred racing and sulky racing to draft horses to combined driving to jumping dressage, endurance racing. I haven't even got into the Western events, cutting, reining, Gymkhana events. It goes on and on. So we're a very multifaceted sport. So is music. We all love music, whether it's country, rap, hip hop, classical, jazz, whatever. Now, when I stand in front of an audience, there could be 100 spectators in the audience. I've been asking this question everywhere I go for the last few years. How many people here can play a musical instrument reasonably well? Well enough that friends and family enjoy listening to it. And only 2 or 3 hands go up. And I saw this over and over again, year after year. So I did some internet research. And the social statistics say that, and this is our North American and European culture, that 50% of human beings will pick up a musical instrument and attempt to learn it. Only 5 of us do. Now, when you ask yourself why, practice. It's not instant gratification. You can't just sit down at the piano or the guitar and make it sound pretty. So that's what we're dealing with. We live in an age, a technological age, of instant gratification. People are looking for that from their horses. I'm going to go to a clinic. I'm going to learn a couple of tricks, learn a couple of games. Now my horse loves me. Not true. To have what people really want from a horse, that kind of a relationship that the heart wants, that's like learning to play an instrument. To learn the language so fluently that you can meet any horse of any breed for any discipline and connect with it immediately with clearly understood articulate body language. That's what's missing. Only 5% of the horse world has that. So yeah, raise the bar, redefine expectation, learn to give the horse what it needs, it'll give you what you want. If you just go to the horse wanting what you want, it'll give you what you need. I won't let you catch me. I won't let you pick up my feet. I don't want that bridle. I won't stand still for mounting. I don't want to go in the trailer. Then what happens? then with.
Well, Chris, we're going to let people find out more about you at your website. It's chrisirwin.com. And also, you can watch that video that we're talking about on horselifestyle.tv. Head on over there. That a lot of people get confused. You can watch that anywhere. It's all in English. Yes, it's out of Amsterdam, but we have to keep reminding everybody that all the programming there is in English, so you head on over.
And you can
over.
Watch it on your tablet.
Yes, I mean, you can watch it on your phone.
Go to the website.
Yeah.
Easy.
So it is a really neat website. Thank you, Chris, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Gwen and Jamie. It was a blast. I really appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk
thank
again
you.
Soon.
Thank you.
All the best.
Well, now we are going to take a break for a song. What do you want to hear today, Jamie? Do you have a favorite artist there? Well, let's ask Kayla.
Yeah, ask Kayla.
Oh, no.
That we play. See, Kayla's one of those that never picked up the instrument.
No, I do not pick up the instrument. And nobody wants to hear me sing.
You know what?
I do.
I'll tell you one we haven't played in a long time. We haven't played this one in a long time.
You got to run it by me. What is it?
Cowhand.com.
Okay.
It's Friday. We'll be back. Really bad ads, people.
Well, I hires on to this brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens. It was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us a tag so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old. Gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a calf pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. My security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did hair analysis with a digital modem and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's gonna breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was gonna have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. There's faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.
cowhand.com. Yep, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
Well, that was cowhand.com. Of course, Dan Roberts, you can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. Well, now we are getting ready to do Really Bad Ads, but before we do that, we have to talk a little bit about a company that has been with us for years since we started. And Jennifer, what products are we currently using from Kentucky Performance Products? Because I saw that that we just had another charge for Kentucky Performance Products. So,
oh, busted. Well, our year-long supply of Microphase finally ran out, because it only comes in the giant size. So we ran out of Elevate. But I reordered and I got the Elevate, which is has a higher level of a vitamin E than the Microphase does, because your pony is allergic. He's got allergies, and he's got itchy allergies, and he's got sneezy allergies. So I wanted to beef up the vitamin E content in his supplement to help his little immune system take care of his allergies.
And that's what the vitamin E does?
That's what the vitamin E does. It's good for stuff like that. And especially in the wintertime, because the grass dies out and they really don't get any vitamin E naturally from the grass because it's all dead. So in the wintertime, especially, I want to make sure he stays on that and keep him going as best I can. Yeah.
Well, and you know, there are so many different products over Kentucky Performance Products, but one of the cool things about their website is if you go to kppusa.com, they really, you know, most supplement companies, when you go to their websites, right, Kayla, they don't say anything about, because they're afraid to say anything about what the supplement does or is good for.
Right.
Well, at KPP's site, they explain everything. I mean, it is the best site for supplements that I've ever seen. And I know that Karen has spent a long time putting that together. And it really, when you go to each supplement, it tells you exactly what's going on with each one. And the explanations are terrific. So if you're confused, you're not sure which supplement goes with what, and most of us are, just head over to kppusa.com and you will find the supplement that works for your needs. Well, Jamie, what do you think? Should we give it a... And guess what? You know what I think, Jamie?
She's got to do one.
You bet. I don't think we can let her get away with not doing any really bad ads, right? No way.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, it is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when our listeners send us some really crappy ads from around the country, usually on Craigslist and sometimes Facebook. And we put everybody's name in a hat. At the end of the month, we draw a winner of some prizes. And Jennifer is going to tell us about the first prize, which actually Kayla has it right over here in her hands right now. And that is the overgrown chip clip. Tell us about it, Jennifer.
The overgrown chip clip is also known as the handy camel. And if you can imagine a chip clip supersized and super strong, what they've done is taken this heavy duty plastic and they've made a hinge clip that will fit over bags of all sorts, feed bags, shavings bags, trash bags, bags of any sort. And anything that you have sitting around that's open and you want to keep critters out of, including critters like Zeus, or you need to keep it from tipping over and spilling, you just slap the clip on. You don't have to worry about folding it over neatly and tying it in a knot, and then the string gets tied in a knot. You can't get it open in the dark. You just literally take the bag, smoosh it out, and smack it shut. And it's got a handle on the top, so you can conveniently and easily pick up that bag and carry it around up to 40 pounds. Handy little device.
And the other prize that we have is the Redmond Equine Prize Pack. Now, I think most of the listeners know that we love Redmond Equine. We love the rocks on a rope. We love their products because they have 60 different minerals. It's not just salt. You're giving them 60 different minerals. This is... it is pure and natural, too. You get the rock as it is mined out of the mine in Utah. They chip it out and send it to you. That's how you get the rock. And the horses will lick this thing for 20 minutes. Scooter just will lick. I often wonder why his tongue isn't bloody after he's done. Because
with,
he just,
with Chili, I'm like, I have to take it away. You're going to hurt yourself.
He's addicted. they're Redmond equine addicts. But it's true. They'll lick that more than I've seen him lick the white salt bricks or any of the other salt bricks we've ever had. They'll just lick it forever. And the cool part is they drill a hole through them, put a rope on it, and you just tie it up in the stall or on a fence outside. It's really good stuff. You see it at most of your tack shops, or you can find it at redmondequine.com.
Don't throw it out in your pasture, because your husband will think that there's a big rock out in the pasture and go and move it. And you're like, no!
That's happened, huh?
The salt rock supposed to be there.
All right, let's get started with some really bad ads. Looks like I have the first one. I think what we're going to do, because, you know, it is initiation day, Jamie. What do you say we give her the long one?
I don't know if I would do that to her.
I think we should. What do you think? I think we should. She's over here squirming, looking at the ads, going, I don't really want the long one. Don't give me the long
one. I was
one.
Thinking we'd give her one where she has to use a southern accent. Down here a little bit further. That it's from Kentucky, and I thought maybe she should do the southern accent one.
Oh, that might be good. That might be good.
Now, I'm from California. I don't know that I have a southern accent.
I know, girl. You just got to channel it, okay?
And Jennifer, by the way, the sound one, I don't seem to have. Could you make sure that that gets refreshed so I can see it for later on? All right. First one, horse trailer with horses in Monroe. This is from Janice. Have a 2006 three-horse slant load like a new condition. Loading lights, upgraded rumber flooring. No living quarters, but tack room is large and would work for someone with a little creativity. $8,000 firm, and oh, it includes two horses that fit perfectly. That's it. They don't tell you anything about the horses.
I was going to say, no info. And again,
that is the product of a divorce, okay?
Yes, you're probably right.
I was left with these damn horses in this trailer. I'll just take it all. Oh, gosh.
That's funny.
Now, the next one, is this a trailer of the day? I don't see a picture.
I don't know.
So should we skip that one?
There was no picture. That was the ad.
Okay. This Beth sent this one in, and the title of the ad is None. Literally none. It says none. $1,000. Indiana. Body is in good condition, except for a few exceptions. This is all one sentence. Okay. Body is in good condition, except for a few exceptions. The side door is duct taped on, but still works. One of the back doors need a hinge. The tires are all brand new, and it has minimal damage to the floor. It is a two-door horse trailer attached. Take both, $1,000. What on earth? Now I need a picture.
All I could think of being Catholic was when the title said none, I was glad it wasn't spelled N-U-N, because then it started body is in good condition. And that just, you know, being Catholic, that just put all kinds of things in my mind.
That went a very different place than it did for me.
You weren't Catholic. Sorry. Betsy sent the following one. Hey, why don't you do this one? Kayla.
Yeah, do this one.
Okay. Do I have to do it in a southern accent?
Oh, you can do this one in the southern accent. I'm sure this was from the South. The horse's name is Dixie.
The horse's name is sure enough does it.
Oh, boy. Okay. AQHA mare, $2,500. Sure snuff does it. Dixie is a 12-year-old reg Palomino quarter horse mare, 14-2 hands. She knows gaming patterns, could do pleasure, trail, and ranch classes easily with some more training. She needs an intermediate to advanced rider. She can be a handful. She is good on the ground if worked consistently. She will rear a few times when you start to lunge her. She toss a leg to the side sometimes, but once you work her past that, she's fine. She will... pick spots on the arena to just stop and fight you, but gets over it pretty quick if you're firm. She rides bareback and in a halter. Does see a chiro twice a year and has a massage therapist. She stands tied, good for vet, etc. She is good for farrier, but will try to pop up once or twice. She needs work in cross ties, but will stand tied to a fence fine. She also needs work with the trailer. She will not walk right on. She gives lessons to a beginner and does great. Email or text me for info.
Yeah, very well done. Yay!
Okay. As a Southern girl, I would like to tell you, you did a fantastic. You got the eye just right. You said rider. She'll pop up twice. She stands tied fine. It was beautiful. That was awesome.
Whew. Hell of a lot better than my Southern accent.
Oh, yeah. Yours is disgusting. Yours is hurt. It hurts. She'll rear a few times.
Yeah. I like how she gets in the middle of the arena and just stops. And once you get over that, you're fine. You'll be good after an hour of fighting with her.
She does ride bareback in a halter, Glenn. So there's that.
She also teaches lessons to a beginner and does great.
It does great. It's apparently the more experienced riders that have trouble. The ones who actually ask her to do something is the ones that have trouble.
Heidi sent this one in. Heidi sent this one in. Hutch and Buns.
What's a Hutch and Buns?
Hutch and Buns, $100 from Crystal River. In the box, large hutch, assembly required. 4 soft, fluffy New Zealand white buns. 1 pound bun food. 2 crocks to eat out of. Please tell me that there's holes in the box.
Is this so the buns can breathe? I assume we're talking about rabbits?
I mean, I'm assuming. I thought that if you have a hutch and a soft, fluffy things, that would be a rabbit.
Have you ever anybody ever heard them called buns before?
Bunnies?
No. Bunnies. Oh, bunnies! Got it. What's going? What the hell are we talking about?
So, is it Crystal River, like Crystal River, Florida?
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, because we would have from the calling buns down here. I wonder how many people like me read this and had no idea what they were talking about. You know, you're going to sell them better if you just put bunnies. Just put rabbits.
It's shorthand, Glenn. It takes too much time to type the other N-I-E.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Or you have to be an avid bun lover, you know?
Obviously.
What I was confused by is, are the crocs to eat the bunnies out of, or are the crocs for the bunnies to eat out of?
You had to go there. You had to go there today with Jamie on, in the mood that Jamie's in.
Yes, I did.
You had to go there, didn't
you? Yes, I did.
I'm going to let that slide because my whole thing was there's 4 soft, fluffy New Zealand white buns in a box that is requiring assembly. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand.
Maybe it's 2 boxes.
But it says Hutch and Buns, does it? In the box, a large hutch, assembly required, 4 soft, fluffy New Zealand white bunnies, and 1 pound of bun food, and a couple crocs. So the crocs are going to eat the buns. And just be careful when you open the box because you're going to assemble some croc. I don't know.
Moving on.
Jenny sent the next one in. Horse trailer. The title is Horse Trailer Ugly and Homemade. $350. This is in Arkansas. Pictures tell it all. It pulls good. It's solid. Somebody spent a great deal of time building this. Paint would help it a lot.
I love the fact that they admitted it was ugly right in the title.
It's pretty hideous. I don't think it would pull good. I wouldn't put my horse in there. Kayla, would you put your horse in there?
I don't see the picture.
Yeah, she doesn't have the picture. It's air conditioned.
Fancy.
It's air conditioned on the side.
Very breezy.
Yeah, it's going to be breezy. Kind of looks like a chariot. It's one of those round 2 front trailers like we... Homemade, though. The tires look great.
Walls. Paint would help it a lot. So would walls.
The tires are great, but we're not sure the horse is actually going to stay in it. That might be an issue.
Floor needs some help.
Minor problems. All right. Carly sent in the next one, who's a neighbor of yours over there in Scottsdale.
She is. Scottsdale, Arizona.
What do you say about Gabe? He is 32 and never ever going to die. He is useless, ugly, and dribbles when he eats. He is healthier than all of us, and we are going to have to will him to the great-grandkids. He is a greedy that demands his senior feed by grabbing the bucket and is impossible not to love. We keep lighting candles at church, hoping he will just die already, but no luck. Would you like to own the oldest, ugliest, and most perverted horse on the planet? Come get him. Since you all seem to love him, but no one wants him, let me entice you further to pick up this gem of equine perfection. Gabe, I rode him once for 10 minutes. It was the longest 10 minutes of my life. He rides like a jackhammer with a backbone that splits you in two. I convinced my sister to give him a whirl and settled back to watch the show. She nearly died of fright. Gabe was my father's horse. He wanted a palomino to ride in the mountains. He got a piss-colored patch of fur that could not understand right from left. Gabe is neurotic under saddle, and only the craziest of crazy wanted to ride him. A former trainer ran him up a hill and blew out his knee, so not only is he a butt-ugly color, droopy, and I mean everywhere, and rude, he has an ugly knee that does not bother him. We used that as an excuse to never ride him again. His stopping ability is as good as his turning ability, which does not exist. Poor Gabe. We tried to give him back to his former owner. No, not only did she say no, but ran away laughing. Gabe is the Rodney Dangerfield of horses. He gets no respect. Gabe almost died 2 years ago. We hoped and prayed, but no luck. The little fur bastard made it. Oops, I'm sorry. He has to eat equine senior to keep weight on. Yes, this is him fat. He has great teeth and has no problem using them on his pasture pals to get all the food. He is just a peach of a guy, and you know you all want him. You know you do. Every day I drive past his field and swear at him for still cursing us with his existence. He will never die to spite me. I know it. He is really sweet old beast, just rude, and we will miss him. Well, his owner will. I hate the little turd.
They never die. The old bad ones never die. They just live forever. The ones that are your lifelong soulmates die at 20. And these guys live to 45.
Ain't that the truth?
That was well read, Carly. Very well read.
God, that was great.
Jennifer,
well
did you
read.
Put the beeps in or did Carly? Please tell me Carly put her own beeps in. I'll be impressed.
I had to add the beeps. Okay. Sorry, she tried hard not to put those words in, but they slipped in just the same. Yeah,
they just roll off the tongue.
They do. That's the problem with bad ads is you read what's written. You just read what's in front of you and can't help it.
Oh, that was well read, Carly. That was the ad of the day so far. But then, the next one that Jamie's going to do has been submitted and posted on my Facebook page, Jamie's Facebook page, and every Facebook page of every horse lover in the world at least 85 times.
I know I sent it.
Yeah. You're one of the 20 that sent it to Jennifer. But I think everybody just wanted to hear Jamie read it. So here we go.
Well, just so you know, everybody who did submit it is in the running. Your name is in the hat for the prizes. All right.
If Kayla doesn't walk out with the big chip clip, right? She's got it in her hand here.
All right, Miss Honky Tonk Badonk. Wait, damn it,
Bianca Donk.
Miss Honky Tonk Bianca Donk is back for $1 in Texas.
Perfect timing. Perfect timing, Luke.
All right, the world's most useless donkey is back. She has brought shame to our family. So she's looking for a baby daddy. Yes, you wonderful people read that right. Miss Honky Tonk Bianca Donk, the world's most useless donkey, was in fact returned today. Imagine that. Turns out, as the first ad mentioned, she does bite. Surprise! I was honest. What a shock. Let me rephrase that first paragraph. I just drove 5 hours round trip to get the useless creature back after she bit the lady's kid because, surprise again, they fed her a boatload of cookies because, quote, that's how they know you love them, end quote. So, yes, I drove 250 miles to get the donkey that I gave away. I've given up on finding her a home to be a useless yard ornament at, because, well, horse people far out crazy cat people on the crazy scale. There's only so many "does she enjoy cookies and being brushed" messages a woman can handle before being driven to the depths of alcohol to numb the tears caused by you carrot stick wielding crackpot. So she looks like she has her, quote, forever home. Damn it. So here she is, just a donkey, standing in front of all of Facebook, asking for a boyfriend to love her. Glenn, do you get the reference on that movie?
No.
Okay, Notting Hill. Bianca Donk is looking for her soulmate. If she's going to burn hay, she might as well do something useful, like create a donkey hopefully more apt to donk than she did. There is also a large piece of me praying that if she has a baby of her own, she may develop some sort of maternal instincts and decide to become a guard animal instead of the shell of a donkey she is with the IQ of a stick. I kid you not, she physically ate her own halter once. Ate it. She just turned 3, and before any of you voice our unasked for opinion, she is, in fact, of legal donkey age. This isn't to catch a predator. Yes, yes, I hear you. I've had a donkey once, and she's too young to breed, but my vet med experience says otherwise. Her knees are closed, her repro track is developed, and I have purchased her a satin dancing dress because, well, fancy don't let me down. Bianca Donk enjoys...
Are these all movie references? I don't know, by the way.
Here's one chance, Fitz, don't let me down.
Oh, the song. See, yeah, okay, I'm so out of it. All right.
Bianca Donk enjoys long strolls to the neighbors after letting herself out of the pen.
She's related serenading to your horse, Zeus.
Serenading her loved ones at approximately 4 p.m. every single day and chewing the occasional lead rope in half. She's what you call, quote, high maintenance. Her preferences include a man tall, dark, and well-endowed. We're talking ears here, you sickos. Someone who isn't the conversational type because she talks enough for the two of them and understands that this is indeed a short-term relationship. She only wants him around for approximately 90 days. She has commitment issues. She also just has too much life to live to be tied to one man. It's not you. It's her. She would love to have an expensive man like a zebra, but you see, she still lives with her parents and we aren't paying for some fancy expensive man. So a jacket is. If you think you may have a soulmate for Bianca Donk, please feel free to message you. Message me. If you don't have a soulmate for Bianca Donk, but instead you have an over-opinionated view of this ad and you just have to voice it, we ask that you kindly redirect your hostility to your therapist because ain't nobody got time for that. It's another reference you probably don't get. Now, I would like to add to that. If you have an over-opinionated view of this ad and you just have to voice it, we ask that you kindly redirect your hostility to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
I saw that coming.
Just goes better that way. Yeah. Facebook people, you failed me once at finding her. And her ugly filly at home. Don't you dare fail me finding her a baby daddy.
Well read. Well done. Woo! Well done. Well
it's
done.
Easy to read. It's written very well.
It is written very now, well. I want to talk to this person.
Well, you can find her because I believe that was it Mary that knew her or was it... It was one of our zebra friends, not Dominique. It was the other zebra chick.
I know who you mean. Yes, yeah. Sammy Joe.
Sammy Joe. I think either Dominique or Sammy Joe know this woman. And it goes to turn out that somebody, after this went viral, delivered her a zebra.
Really?
For a boy. Yes.
All right, so Denise, if you're listening, please hop to it. We need this woman on the show. we need to talk to this woman. So, yes. Yeah, just ask Mary or Sammy Joe. We'll locate this one.
One of those guys. I can't remember. One
I
of
can't
these
wait. This woman's a trip.
Yeah, this is awesome.
All right, Mel sent the following in, and it's very short. It's a mare horse from Jeffersonville.
I want I want Kayla to read this one too.
You don't have this one?
I have the picture.
Okay. She's working off printouts, and I don't think she can come up with a printout. All right. So this one's off of Craigslist, and it's in East Kentucky. It's very short. Nice boned mare horse. Ride a bull, but needs her feet trimmed. She's a good girl, $50. She's about 15'1 and 14 years old. She was a rescue horse. Now, that all sounds normal. That ad isn't bad, unless you see the picture. The picture is taken in the middle of a snowstorm. The horse is covered in snow. You can't even see the horse. It looks like the horse is absolutely frozen and miserable. And that's the picture they put of the big bone mare horse in the snowstorm.
She doesn't look very big.
First of all, it's not a big boned mare horse. It's kind of just a really fuzzy, freezing ass, cold, poor
thing. Please, somebody just take this horse.
$50.
If you're in Jeffersonville.
This is also one of those things where they say, oh, she was a rescue. And I'm like, oh my God, if she lives here, rescued from what?
Yeah, like, that's right.
She needs to be rescued from you. All right.
Oh, this next one's Kentucky. Should she see? Oh, Kayla, you have to do this one in your best Kentucky accent, too.
Oh, no. Yeah. People in Kentucky are going to hate me. I have to go there in October and be popular. Okay. Quarter horse mare, $900, Kentucky. Meet Moonshine. She's a 15 hand grade 12 year old flea bitten quarter horse mare. She neck reins and goes in any direction you point her in. She needs an experienced rider. She must ride in a hackamore. She can't take a bit. She can't take a bit. They make her act really bad. Would make a good trail horse or anything you point her in. Was lightly started on the barrels, but hasn't seen them in a couple years. She is hot. She likes to go, go, go. Will buck and rear when held back, but after a few rides of putting her in her place, she isn't bad. Like I said, she likes to run. Nice horse of your experienced and can handle a hot horse. She has great ground manners. Selling her because I'm getting out of the horse scene for a while. Also, we use a barefoot enthusiast farrier who is amazing. Moonshine has gotten her feet done 2 weeks ago.
She's getting out of the horse scene for a while because just until she sells
it's
this
It's all
one.
Those broken bones that she has from this horse being rearing for the first 20 minutes you get on her every time.
I feel like this is the same people that are selling Sure Enough Does It.
I do too. I think it's the same place in Kentucky. Alex sent the following one in. And this is in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. Big hunky trail horse, $300. Atlas is a beefy, handsome 15-year-old draft cross gelding and is sure-footed go-anywhere trail steed. Will lead or follow, sets a faster pace at the walk, and has a comfortable controlled lope. Perfect for the average trail rider. In husband safe, call today to meet him and try him for yourself. Note, in parentheses, Atlas is a big, big boy and is too strong for children. He is also not suited for a beginner new to horses. I just picture a tank, a Sherman tank is what I picture after this. Atlas is a beefy, too strong for children, big boy.
But he's
and you know that they had to add that last part because people were coming out to have their children try him. You know, like, yes. This is not for children. I've told you. Stop bringing your kids out.
Your kids kept getting bucked off.
Mm-hmm. Wendy sent this one in. Is this Dr. Wendy?
No.
Okay. 3-year-old horse, $400. Hide this posting. What? I'm looking to sell our stallion, thinking he's around 3 years old and might have a little paint in him. He stands around 14 hands high, but he's not full grown, so he'll be a bigger horse. We bought him from my daughter a few months ago, and she's ridden a good many times with lead. She has also walked him on lead. But he is still very green.
Apparently
still
it needs didn't go saddle well. Work.
Yeah. Still needs saddle work as well. He has a great personality. when you hear that, she's real sweet. She's real sweet. Okay.
Yeah, she's so real sweet.
He has a great personality and is real quick to learn. He would make a great project horse. Selling for $400 or best offer. My phone isn't the best, so I'm unable to post pictures on here, but I can text them if interested.
Go ahead and say it.
They're all project horses. Is it gelded? Oh, no. My God. It's not gelded.
It's a stallion.
What are you doing?
We all buy our three-year-old stallions because they can learn together because it's safe. There should be a
personality.
There should be a freaking test for buying a horse. You have to take a test. You have to do classes before you're allowed to buy a horse. I'm telling you.
I was so focused on the fact
you missed it.
I missed that it's a stallion they bought for their daughter that they're leading her around on.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I need a drink.
One more. This is in Lebanon, also in Pennsylvania. I don't know who sent this one in. 7-year-old gelding for sale. The gelding's name is Trugo. Trugo is a 7-year-old halflinger quarter horse. I've owned for 2 years and bought him from the people who bred him, so I know all his history. He
Walk trot canter.
Thank you. He walks, trots, canters, backs, tarps, bridges, waters, clips, cross ties, one rein stops, neck reins like a champion, ground ties, moves off seat and leg, smooth gaits, barefoot, stands to be mounted from either side, bridled, bathed, and saddled. Good for a vet and farrier. Is this not the perfect horse?
Why are they only so amazing?
Well, I'm not done. He's an easy keeper. He's top of the pecking order. He's done small jumps. He's super friendly on the ground and loves attention. He's up to date on all his shots, coggins, and dewormed. Now, for $2,400, you're buying this horse, right?
Done.
Yep. Well, they put the best at the end. Selling as an advanced rider only because he does buck sometimes.
Just a little.
Just a little. He needs to have groundwork before riding because he will buck sometimes. Sometimes he won't buck at all. Would be a good project for an adult. I have been working with him for the last couple of months, and he's definitely getting better, but I'm not getting much time to ride now, and I don't want him to go backwards. He also he doesn't haul very well either. I can haul him within a half an hour or 1 hour, but that's it. Located in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and they did put a video. I did not watch the video to see if he was bucking, but my guess is they don't have time to work in much now because everything hurts from falling down so much. That's my guess. He only bucks a little. Everything else is perfect.
As an experienced horse person, what would you say to these people about their horse?
Send it to a trainer?
I would send it to the vet.
No, yeah, no. Check his back.
Yeah.
Yep, check his back. He's bucking because you're a big fatty and you're mean.
Now, we don't know for a fact that they were big fatties. We don't know.
Well, it's a halfling.
I'm watching the video. You're right.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, it's so funny. Who did we have on? We had on one of the shows this week that talked. Oh, it was Monty. What was his quote about halflingers on Wednesday?
Oh, my gosh, this horse is lame. He's limping in the video, and they're just working it around. No wonder he bucks.
He's trying to tell
Monty
you something.
Was saying,
what did he say about halflingers?
They're little bulldozers.
Yeah, they're pretty much little bulldozers. And everyone we've ever known has been kind of that way. They're interesting ponies. They really are.
He's really beautiful. He's adorable. He's little buckskin with a bald face, little Zeus face, and he's lame trotting around.
Well, that might have something to do with the bucking. You know, yeah. Maybe. Something.
Again, always call the vet. Sorry. This I made it a little too real, didn't I? Really bad ads is not supposed to be real.
Yeah, we're not supposed to be real. We don't. That's why we don't look at the videos. Because it just makes you feel sad. See, in order to make fun of them, we can't feel sad for them. See, that's the problem.
You're right. I got it. I got too real. I got too close.
You went too far. One step too far, Jamie. One step too far. Well, that's it for Really Bad Ads today. A lot of good ones. But I have to give the award. Now, Caitlin, you did very well. You did very well. But I have to give the award to Carly. Carly's ad was really good today.
She definitely did a lot better than I did.
Yeah, you did great, though. That Southern accent. You didn't even know you had a Southern accent. Look, it was right there. Ready to come out.
Now just wait for my other accents.
Why do people not learn how to teach their horse to back up? Like, why do people not know how to ask a horse to back up, I
Jamie,
should say.
Jamie, turn the video off.
Walk away
from the video.
You don't just yank on his face until he backs up. What is your problem? Sorry.
You don't?
In the show.
You don't?
I gotta go.
Kayla's out. Well, that's it, everybody. Kayla, thank you so much for joining us. Do you guys have a website?
I do. I have, it's Selkouth, which is S-E-L-C-O-U-T-H, sporthorses.com.
And if you want to feel really bad about yourself and really bad about your facility, go take a look at the pictures of Kayla's. And then you'll be like Jamie, and you'll just be crying every day when you see pictures.
She posts these videos, and I'm like, I don't even see the horse. I'm like, oh my God, that is the most beautiful arena I've ever
That's
seen.
That's true.
Well,
I
plug
can
your
also,
footing.
I can
plug
also, the yeah, the footing is Atwood Surfaces, which a couple upper level riders also have, and it's gorgeous. And I can also tell you that it feels lovely to fall down with a horse on. It's just awesome. Nice and cushiony.
Spongy.
Yeah.
Spongy. You kind of bounce.
I fell this year, and it was the first time, and I just, that part of me that hit the soft footing didn't hurt. The horse that hit me, that part hurt.
That part hurt, yeah. You're still recovering from that part. Well, I'm glad to see you walking and doing better, and we really appreciate you stopping by. We're so excited about following you along the way to the makeover, and if somebody
Kiss
missed the beginning
Gable
of the show, go back
us.
And listen.
I give him lots of kisses, and I'm really excited for you guys to follow with me. It should be a nice roller coaster of a ride.
We're going to post pictures on our show notes page for today's show, and we'll put them in the show notes and also on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. We'll be back on Monday. Jamie will be here, and we'll have a Monday show for you. I'm sure Leslie will be stopping by as well. Thank you, everybody, for a good week. Check out all the shows. They're all coming out on horseradionetwork.com. And also on our app. You'll find them there as well. You have a terrific week, Jamie. Weekend.
Bay, neuter, geld, poor little Trugo.
Bye, Kayla.
Bye.